You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. And if you are a reader, no doubt, sometime in your reading career, you have had in your hands that familiar gold foil spined little golden book, one type or another. And now there's one for kids of all ages that you might want to get for the holiday season. Everything I Need to Know About Christmas, I Learned from a Little Golden Book. Diane Muldrow is the editor or compiler or author. I'm not sure what you would call it, and I'll ask you in just a minute, but welcome to the book club, Diane.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how would you, you've taken some of the old illustrations, put new text to it.
It's all new text, so you can call me an author.
Okay.
But I am a longtime editor of Little Golden Books, so I have sort of an encyclopedic memory of all the images in these books because I've been working on as the editor for over 20 years. So I had an idea on the subway one day, why not do a little golden book for grown-ups and really aim it more at grown-ups and do a fun guide to life. So the first book in this was Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book. And I had the idea not long after that horrible fiscal crisis of 2008. And remember all that soul-searching that was going on? And we were
indeed.
All wondering if we should go out to eat less and do things and more practically with our money. And it just made me think about little golden books and how everything has been covered in a little golden book, believe it or not. Even money.
Yes,
there was one in the 50s called Five Pennies to Spend.
And that does appear in the new Christmas book, too.
Yes, it does. It appears in the first book, I know that. But it's just really fun to, you know, having, they've been out since 1942, so there's, I think in total, close to 1,400 little golden books that have been out there, not all at once right now, but that have been out there. And I know them all, and I just think, gosh, what hasn't been covered in a little golden book, you know?
Right.
So they sort of lend themselves to a fun guide to life for grown-ups who maybe we've forgotten a few things over the years. You know, I look at the picture of, there's a wonderful picture of Tawny Scrawny Lion walking through the moonlight, and that's what gave me the idea for the first book, because he looks so content. And I realize I'm not that content as a grown-up, not like I was when I was a kid. So.
Well, you said 1,400 books, but in 1942, when the first set came out, there were only 12 little gold.
There were 12.
And how did it start, and why the gold foil on the spine?
All right. Well, they didn't start out with gold foil. That actually came along in the 50s. But the original 12 little golden books were published at the height of World War II, or at least of America's involvement in World War II. And they were an immediate success. They had little jackets on them, believe it or not, back then, and they were 42 pages. They're now 24 pages. So, but the jacket had a little wheat design that went down the spine, and on the back of the jacket, the artwork looked like a little gold picture frame. So, eventually, when the jackets went away, they still wanted to do a special spine treatment, and that's when the gold foil spine came along, that tape that goes down the spine.
And there's been some incredible both authors and illustrators who worked with Little Golden Books through the years. Who are some of the highlights for you? And then maybe I'll share a couple of mine.
Yes, okay. Well, Margaret Wise Brown, definitely the author of Goodnight Moon. She wrote that for Harper, but she wrote lots of Little Golden Books, including Mr. Dog, The Sailor Dog, and probably the most famous of her Little Golden Books is The Color Kittens. So, and as far as illustrators go, I love to say that the Little Golden Books had some of the best illustrators of the 20th century working on those books. Garth Williams, for instance, who did Stuart Little and the Little House on the Prairie books. Feodor Rodzinkowski, who won a Caldecott Medal, not for Golden Books, but for another publisher. Tibor Gurgley, who did lots and lots of Little Golden Books. He did Scuffy the Tugboat. He did many, many more. And then we had Eloise Wilkin, who's in some ways the most beloved, I think, of the illustrators, who was from upstate New York and painted her beautiful surroundings in every book. I call her the Mary Cassatt of children's books.
Oh, beautiful portraits. Eloise Wilkin was one I was going to mention because you can pick her out of the crowd.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Readily.
She has huge legions of fans.
And her sister Esther that she wrote with?
Sister Esther wrote books for her.
So through the years, has the mission of Little Golden Books changed at all?
I would say not. I would say, I know at least I like to think, I don't really reinvent the wheel. I do new books. We put out new books every year. That's something I always have to say. But I like to keep the content classic. And when we choose the artwork, my art director and I We are very conscious of choosing artwork that is of today, as Little Golden Book's artwork always was. It was always of the day. But that won't date. And I think, you know, I would like to say that maybe in 30 years, I'll look back and see how many of the books I've edited and brought out as new books are still in print. Wouldn't that be wonderful to if they're the classics of tomorrow? And I like to think of them as the classics of tomorrow.
Diane Muldrow, she is the author of Everything I Need to Know About Christmas I Learned from a Little Golden Book. You can learn more about that book and her others at our website, wvxu.org. And I noticed in the history of Little Golden Books that Lucy Sprague Mitchell became involved just a few years after that first batch came out. And that really kind of injected something new into the Little Golden Books.
Lucy Sprague Mitchell was a progressive educator, and she had very distinct ideas about what children were interested in reading about, which was very revolutionary at the time. She thought the kids were better served with books about the construction site at the end of the block, or going shopping, or airplanes. This really ran afoul of the general idea of librarians at the time that thought Little Golden Books were pretty subliterary. Little Golden Books were immediately successful, though, and so it was almost as if the librarians had been factored out of the equation a little bit. But anyway, Lucy Sprague Mitchell also had a writer's group every week, and these young women would get together, share their manuscripts, and those young women included Margaret Wise Brown, who took that here and now philosophy that Lucy Sprague Mitchell had and really turned it into her stories into art. There's a wonderful little golden book called Seven Little Postmen that I reissued. I joked that the postal system was so was such a dinosaur that the book, even though it was written in the 50s, was not dated. And it did really go on to sell very well. But it's a very well-written story about a letter that goes through the mail and the seven little postmen that handle it on its journey. And it takes that educational approach, but she writes it in such an artful way that book will always be, I think, around and be loved by kids.
Well, you mentioned there are 1,400 little golden books that have been published. How many have that lasting impression of, like, the pokey puppy and stuff like that?
Well, the pokey little puppy, you know, stands alone. That is the best-selling picture book of all time, actually.
I did not know that.
Yes, the pokey is the best-selling picture book of all time. It's up to 17.5 million copies or something like that. We print it every year in the tens of thousands. I mean, I would say it probably reprints 40,000 to 50,000 copies every year.
Wow.
So they didn't all do that well. Some will never come back into print. Some are just too dated. Some are no longer relevant, perhaps, in some ways. Artwork often dates a book. But I reissue old ones each year, several old ones every year, and we do new ones every year. And there's always new classics to find out there if you're watching.
Well, let's talk about Everything I Need to Know About Christmas I Learned from a Little Golden Book, because as I went through, wonderful illustrations, but I love your narrative that goes through it as well. What was it like trying to compile this? Because you do use an excerpt from previous Little Golden Books, the artwork.
Yes.
I mean, how did you approach this project, Diane? It seems daunting.
Well, it was daunting in that I had very little time to do it, but I pulled all the Christmas books off the shelf that Golden had published over the years, and I kept thinking, I know there's probably 2 million pictures of Santa coming down the chimney, probably 2 million pictures of the manger. I need more than that. But I was very pleasantly surprised at the images and the artistry of the beautiful Christmas books that were done by Golden Books over the years. Anything you could think of, a child hauling boughs on his sleigh, you know, back to the house. A baby, the Eloise Wilkin, that fat-cheeked Eloise Wilkin baby, you know, touching an ornament on the tree. I mean, it's just these classic moments of that Christmas magic. And Little Golden Books were so good at that I was, you know, even as well as I know the books, the Christmas books surprised me with the range of scenes that I could use, and the beauty of the artwork is really can't be compared to anything else.
Well, how many Christmas books were there? Because I noticed as I was going through, and you know, there are for lack of a better word, captions, notations at the bottom to say where the original illustration came from, and I noticed there was My Little Golden Book Christmas, the Golden Christmas Book, Sweet Smell of Christmas Scratch and Sniff
Book. That's never been out of print. That book still sells. Yeah, it sells and sells.
I mean, how many others were there?
Oh, my goodness. You know, not as many as you might think, but the thing about Christmas books is that Golden did lots of treasuries, you know, big Christmas collections. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, though, as though I had hundreds of Golden Christmas books to work from, but I had some big fat Christmas books that I could work from that, okay, you know, had Christmas songs and Christmas stories. And then some of the best-selling Little Golden books, the Christmas Story, Eloise Wilkin illustrated it. I pulled images from that, of course. So I had I did have a nice variety of images, and a lot are animals and clothing, you know, in their Christmas finery, which is always so fun.
Richard Scarry,
did it the best. Yes. He did it best. Yeah, that sort of thing.
So did you put together the arc of the storyline for this book before you went looking for the pictures, or you know what came first, the picture or the words?
Yeah,
there,
right. You know, it's funny with the Everything books. Sometimes the picture speaks to me, and other times I have a line that I have to go find the picture for. So I would say it's about 50-50. But it becomes a sort of mystical experience because I do this work at the office. I need to do it at the office because I have to have the books in front of me, and I do it when no one's there. So after a while, I'm on my way to the Xerox machine to take a photocopy of the picture I want to use. I use a dummy. I work with a dummy. Mm-hmm. And I think the book gets written back and forth on the way to the copier because I start thinking about the next thing I want to say. And like my mind starts going so fast. And but in the case of the Christmas book, all the Everything books, I think, what's the hook, you know? And when I knew I was writing a Christmas book, I thought, well, what's the hook? What's the theme? And, you know, as adults, when we know, as we are right now going through it, Christmas is coming, right? Mm-hmm. We all go, oh, no, you know, there's so much to do. That's the adult point of view.
Right.
And the child's point of view is, yay, Christmas is coming soon. I can't wait till it gets here. And adults are saying, oh, I wish I had another week, you know. So I thought, that's it. Because I'm aiming these books at adults, these Everything I Need to Know books. So the book begins with Christmas is coming, yikes, you know. And then the adult mind thinks, oh, there's so much to do, the cooking and the cleaning and then the crowds and then the weight gain, you know, the excess. I actually found a great picture. As you did mention that Five Pennies to Spend is used in the Christmas book. Mm-hmm. And the picture is the mom opening her empty purse. Yeah. And, you know, in the book, she's just really just opening her purse. But, of course, I was able to turn it so that it looks like her purse is empty. It's just sort of a funny picture. So that's the adult point of view. So I take you there first. And then the arc is that I get you to the joy and the magic of Christmas. And, of course, with all those wonderful illustrations of Christmas joy, I would say on page, let's say 25 through the end of the book, you're getting warm, fuzzy feelings again. And by the end of the book, you're back to that childlike anticipation. And that's what I was trying to do, is let's all get back to that childlike, those childlike feelings, which are more pure and frankly more healthy for us.
This is just coming out, but I wanted to ask what kind of response you had to Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book, mm-hmm. the first go round here. But what was the reaction like to that? And well, what has been the reaction so far in the short time this one's been out?
Well, okay, so Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book has been out. It came out in September 2013, and it was a phenomenal response. And I aimed it at people of a certain age who grew up with these books, and those people found it. I think it wasn't just a nostalgia trip for them. It was a reminder of the little lessons they had learned in Little Golden Books, which was the point of the book. But you don't always know people are going to get your point, right?
Right.
I think, you know, I've worked on these books for over 20 years, and I see the effect it has on adults when I say what my job is. It's the same thing every time I hear, "Oh," and they get that faraway look in their eye. And they just start reliving that joy of those little books again. And so I think that's what these books are doing for them. So the Christmas book, of course, that's your twofer, because you have your Little Golden Books joy and nostalgia, and then you have your Christmas magic. So
great stuff.
So, yeah.
Diane Muldrow, the author of Everything I Need to Know About Christmas I Learned from a Little Golden Book. What are you reading right now?
All right. Well, I will tell you, I don't read much new fiction. I am a nonfiction reader. So when I read fiction, I try to read classics that for some reason I haven't read yet. The book I'm reading right now is The Old Curiosity Shop by Charles Dickens. And another book I'm reading, my sort of airplane reading right now, is Angelica Houston's novel, or not novel, her memoir. Thank you. A Story Lately Told. She grew up in Ireland, and I have spent a lot of time in Ireland, and I was very interested in reading her tale of Ireland. So that's the kind of book I tend to read, and I love to read the old classics. And there's so many I haven't read yet, so...
Plenty to work on.
Yeah, right? Yes.
So many books, so little time.
Exactly.
Well, Diane, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Diane Muldrow, author of Everything I Need to Know About Christmas I Learned from a Little Golden Book and other books. You can learn more about her work at our website, wvxu.org, and learn more about the Little Golden Books there as well. The Book Club at 91.7.